having a great Friday afternoon, Saskatchewan. All Request Friday. You pick the tunes here on the Green Zone. Little Spin Doctors getting ready for the weekend. What's the tune you want to hear? Maybe it should be what you hope to happen to the Bombers tomorrow is the theme, which is their utter demise against the Montreal Alouettes. Because if the Bombers lose, the Riders can get first in the West Division. Believe it or not, that's where we're at in week 21. To preview that Alouettes Bombers game, we take you to Winnipeg, Manitoba. From Bonfire Sports Winnipeg, Darren Bombing is the host. Darren, thanks for your time.
Great to be with you, Jamie. What's going on?
And of course, check out the pregame show wrapped up there. You can check it out for the Bonfire Sports Winnipeg pregame show between the Bombers and the Alouettes. But we're all cheering against Winnipeg this weekend here, Darren. All cheering against the Bombers. But how are the Bombers doing after that loss to the Toronto Argonauts, a bye week? What are you expecting from them tomorrow in a high-pressure situation in Montreal?
I think they're going to be a team full of piss and vinegar, Jamie. You know, pardon the language if people are offended by that, but I think the Blue Bombers were offended with the results of that final game, you know, prior to their bye week this past week. It was a 14-11 loss, but I'll be honest, I think that that score was not indicative of what we saw in the game. The Alouettes dominated the line of scrimmage, absolutely dominated it, and really exposed Winnipeg's offensive line, you know, from start to finish. They limited the run game. They got to Zach Kolaris. I think they drew up a beautiful blueprint for the rest of the league, whether that's the Lions or the Riders or the Alouettes this week or whoever comes out of the East if, you know, the Bombers are able to come out of the West in Grey Cup 111. They found a way to neutralize everything Winnipeg was able to do offensively as they've slowly been kind of getting the wheels underneath them in their offense this season. The defense has been great, and I expect them to continue to be great, despite losing a handful of starters to injury for the season, including middle linebacker Adam Bighill. But Winnipeg has been on message all week this week. They're locked in, and I quote, whatever it takes. They're going into Montreal Saturday afternoon, definitely focused on getting a win.
And they face an Alouette team. Watching Jason Moss this week, he's one ticked off coach too, from the way the Alouettes are playing, especially coming off that loss to the BC Lions against Vernon Adams Jr. in his return. I was a bit surprised they're rolling everybody out there this weekend. Darren, how about those in Winnipeg? Were they expecting maybe like Tyrese Beverett and a few rested? Because that's not what the Winnipeg Blue Bombers will be facing. They'll be facing very much 95% of the starters for the Alouettes.
Yeah, were people in Winnipeg surprised? Probably, maybe. I wasn't, though. And, you know, that's what Chris Walby and I talked about on our pregame show on Bonfire Sports was the rest versus rust eternal debate, right? And for the Montreal Alouettes, people say, well, they don't have anything to play for. Is Cody Fajardo going to play all four quarters? Who's going to dress? How much are they going to actually, you know, how much action are they going to get? Are you kidding me? The way this team has been playing as of late, do you really think a loss to the powerhouse team in this league over the last 4 or 5 years, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, on home field is going to set you up for success in the playoffs? The Alouettes have a bye next week. They have time to rest. If a guy is injured, I don't think you push him into this game. But if somebody is nicked up, and if it was week 10 and they were able to play and would play, I think they play in this game too. I expect Montreal to bring it. I really, really do. The first game of this regular season, week 1 in Winnipeg, was a Grey Cup rematch between these two teams. The Alouettes absolutely trounced the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in maybe the most difficult building to play in the CFL, and that would be here in Winnipeg, Princess Auto Stadium. And I don't think Winnipeg wants a repeat of that. They want to go into the postseason with some momentum, and I don't think the Montreal Alouettes want to let the Blue Bombers come in and get redemption for that week one beatdown by going into their house and pushing them around.
Darren Bomming joining us from Bonfire Sports in Winnipeg, Manitoba, as the Bombers head to Montreal to take on the Alouettes in a game. All of Rider Nation will be watching tomorrow with their fingers crossed that Cody Fajardo can do Saskatchewan a solid and beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But, Darren, what are you anticipating? I'm picking the Bombers. I just think the emotional connection of having something to play for gives them the edge over the Alouettes, who can say all they want that, hey, we got to play strong and we got to fight to the finish. But the reality is that emotional, mental makeup of it, it's hard to match what the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are coming in with, because first place is on the line.
Yeah, absolutely. They have so much to play for. And I'm with you. I absolutely kind of foresee the same thing. I expect physicality. I expect a grudge match. I really expect a playoff-like atmosphere, whether the Alouettes fans bring that or not. Hey, this isn't Regina. This isn't Winnipeg. This is Montreal. I don't know if they're going to be able to bring that playoff-like atmosphere that these prairie teams, cities, and provinces would bring, especially in November. But the two teams that are lining up across from each other, they're going to want to smack each other in the mouth. And, the Vegas line is 7, 6.5. I think it might have even dropped to 6. While that might be an indication of the results of the game, I think people need to understand that that number is kind of placed on where they expect the money to go. And with Winnipeg needing the win, Montreal not necessarily needing the win, despite that going against, what I've kind of outlined to you, I think to the layman, to most bettors, they expect Winnipeg to win. So I think they swing that line heavily. But, the reality is I think this is much, much of a closer game. If I had to set a neutral site or a neutral bias betting line, I would put it around 3, maybe 2.5.
So if the Bombers win, it'll be interesting how the Riders handle that game after. It'll be emotional letdown, of course. I imagine Trevor Harris won't see the ball. But let's fast forward. Let's skip over to who cares who gets first and second right now in the West. How open is the West Division, especially after what we saw Vernon Adams Jr. do in his return to the BC lines? If you told me any of these three teams are in the Grey Cup, I'm not going to be surprised in the least. I think this is one of the most open races we've seen in a while in the West Division.
No question. And I'll tell this story to kind of paint the picture through the lens of the Blue Bombers season, okay, as I call you from here in Winnipeg, Jamie. But this will help your audience. The Blue Bombers were 0-4, and people thought, well, okay, this dynasty, this franchise dominance is over. They scrounged their way to a 2-6 start, coming off a putrid performance in Toronto in week 6, where they lost in overtime to the Argos. And sitting at 2-6, they had a short week, and they were visiting the rested, coming off a bye week, BC Lions. Vernon Adams Jr., the early season MOP front runner. The offense, the Lions, number one in the CFL. And Winnipeg won that game 25-0. And Vernon Adams Jr. left that game due to injury, but played the majority of it, and Winnipeg had his number that day. The next week, it was a rematch, and Winnipeg was able to capture a win again, this time in Vancouver, against Nathan Rourke. And since those two games where Winnipeg was able to turn their season around and BC suddenly started going in the other direction with all these questions about Nathan Rourke, Vernon Adams Jr., who's our guy, they've been able to right the ship, and there's Vernon Adams Jr. back in the driver's seat controlling this offense. And, it's amazing how that pendulum has swung so far one way and then all the way back the other. We'll see how it reacts when it hits the steel ball on this third pass back to the middle, with the Lions, with Vernon Adams Jr., and this West Division. Because, Winnipeg might have swept Labor Day and the Banjo Bowl series, but in no way, shape, or form were those dominant wins by Winnipeg over Saskatchewan. The Riders could absolutely get redemption against Winnipeg in the postseason.
I can't wait for these playoffs, Darren. I can't wait. Tomorrow's going to be a heck of a day, too, to watch how the Alouettes play against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. It should be an absolute blast. But before I let you go, what about those Winnipeg Jets, though? Look out! 7-0!
It's amazing because you listen to the national pundits going into the regular season. They were all saying, well, I know they were the fourth best team in the National Hockey League last season. I know, you know, that they had an incredible, performance with the fourth best record in the whole league last season. But that playoff performance just shows that they do not have it. And losing Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli and a handful of others in free agency, Brendan Dillon on the back end, this Winnipeg Jets team is not a playoff team. And, well, move from Rick Bonus to associate coach, now head coach Scott Arneil, and they still have the best goaltender in the world for anybody's money in Connor Hellebuck. Power play, clicking, penalty kill, dominant. This Blue Bombers team, or pardon me, this Winnipeg Jets team is starting to look like the dominant Winnipeg Blue Bombers team we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years.
It's going to be an interesting night tomorrow with the Jets and the Flames. The two top teams in the Western Conference, the Flames and the Jets.
The Battle of Atlanta, the Flames and the Thrashers.
Oh, good things come from Atlanta, apparently. Darren, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy that football game tomorrow.
Absolutely. Good to be with you, Jimmy. Take care.
That is Darren Bomming. Check out all their work, Bonfire Sports in Winnipeg, in that pregame show with Darren and Chris Walby. We're going to talk about the Jets and the Flames. I didn't even think about that tie. The Battle of Atlanta, the Thrashers and the Flames on Saturday night. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Tomorrow, game day in Saskatchewan. I've been remiss. I haven't said this all week, I think. It's an Obsidian Green game tomorrow against the Calgary Stampeders. So it's the Obsidian Green game, fan appreciation, and you're welcome. I know some of you wear costumes to every Rider game, but you're welcome to ahead of Halloween. Plus, we have a special Halloween edition of Friday Faceoff coming up with our candy expert here on the Green Zone. We have a candy expert. We'll tell you who that is. Coming up for the Friday face-off. I think I'm pretty proficient in candy, but as I evidenced by the CFL power rankings I did earlier in the week, by the way, you should check those out on our social media if you haven't already, at GreenZoneSK on social, or the Jamie Nye the Sports Guy Facebook page. Also tomorrow, it is NHL action, hockey night in Canada. How about the Jets and the Flames? It's going to be the game, if there's a game of the night tomorrow here on the Green Zone, well, it might be the Riders and the Stampeders, depending on what happens with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Montreal Alouettes. But a game of the night for the National Hockey League would be the Jets and the Flames. Look at the standings right now. The Jets, 7-0-0, undefeated. The Flames just lost their first game in regulation last night, but they're at 11 points. They're leading the Pacific Division. So you have the Pacific Division leading Flames, the Central Division leading Jets. I think two of the bigger surprises already in the National Hockey League. Some of the other surprises. Are the Kings a surprise? Maybe they're a surprise when you consider that the Edmonton Oilers only have one team below them in the standings in the Pacific, and it's the San Jose Sharks, who have yet to win a game. They're the only team left who haven't won a game this season, and it doesn't help that Macklin Celebrini has been out of the lineup for the San Jose Sharks because of injury. But hockey night in Canada tomorrow, Flames and the Jets. And we'll see. Maybe that'll be the game for the Tic Tac 20 contest winner out of Prince Albert. We announced it earlier. A goal in the first 20 seconds, and they'll win $300. Jamie Nye with you here on a Friday afternoon on the Green Zone. Hope you're enjoying your Friday. And, of course, it's all Request Friday. So you can send in your requests at 1-877-332-8255 on what you'd like to hear getting ready for the weekend. Well, we got a busy weekend, of course, when it comes to football. Quarterfinal action, 1A, 6A football. 2A, 6A football, 4A, 9A tonight, in fact, in Saskatoon. It is the Saskatoon final for the 5A between Bishop Mahoney and Aiden Bowman tonight. Last night it was Johnson over Tom for the Regina 5A. This weekend you'll see PA Carleton against Martinsville and Moose Jaw Central against Balgonie and some of the other quarterfinals for 5A, and still figuring things out on the 6A side. 12-man. Regina Thunder this weekend in the national semifinal. The Riders tomorrow could get first. And tonight, it all kicks off. Libel Field, the University of Regina Rams, taking on Alberta in a win, and you're in game. The head coach of the Rams, Mark McConkey, with us. Mark, how's it going this afternoon, getting ready for game day?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, we're excited. Pretty exciting game here.
How was the prep week? Of course, the last couple of weeks, a bit of a losing skid, but how do you shake it out and go, hey, we have a shot in this one? It doesn't matter what's happened this season. It's a win and we're in mentality this week.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of weird how the things shaked out all season with the standings, and you never know which game's the big one and not. And at the end of the day, we win and people forget about the losing streak, and you're in playoffs. And Canada West this year is wide open. Anyone can win 1-6, and we just want to give ourselves a chance. But it starts tonight. Got to take care of business tonight. Then we're probably off to Winnipeg next week. So we're just excited for the opportunity. Practice week was great. Guys are excited. They're focused, and we're so close. We got to stop losing by 2 and 3 and finally just finish out a game here. And that's kind of been the theme of the week, and the players and the coaches are ready.
Wild is right. Have you, even as a player, Mark, I'm trying to think back on how many times it seems like everybody has beaten everybody, which is rare when it comes to U Sports and conferences. Usually you have some powerhouses and some teams trying to build. This has been a wild ride. What's it been like watching the rest of the Canada West play out from your purview on how this has gone this season?
Yeah, honestly, looking at the out-of-town scoreboard, I'm not surprised by any of the scores, because you never know. You got to show up, and it's been like this for a while now. But you're right, there's usually that one dominant team. Like in the 2010 to 2020, it was the Dinos. Like, they were untouchable at times, and they'd lose once in a while, but for most teams to lose 2, 3, 4 games, and anyone, like, the margin of victory is so small each and every week. It's been fun to watch, fun to follow, and fun to be a part of it, other than the stress consistently this week. But other than that, it's been fun. That's why it's the best conference in U Sports, and we're happy to be right in the thick of it.
Can you put your finger on why that is? On why that's maybe been more parity the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think, again, Western Canada is so spread out, and most teams kind of dominate their area for recruiting, and teams are doing different things. There's so many people here, and the parity is just those lower end teams are now catching those top end teams, and it's hard to stay at the top. And yeah, it's just good football. It's fun to be a part of. And yeah, I think everyone's just up in their game in the recruiting world, and it's just competitively so close now.
Going back, another close game last week, of course, against the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. You've had a lot of close games, as have the Golden Bears. So how resilient do you believe your group is, and what has the message been from week over week, despite the losing streak, from yourself to try to keep the focus on the fact that you guys were still in it and never out of it?
Yeah, I mean, early in the season, it's all about going 1-0 each week and win the week, and the message really hasn't changed. And even the last few weeks, we've dropped a couple of close ones, and it's just now getting out of crunch time, playoffs. I kept telling them we're in playoffs, and then we kept losing, and we kept our hopes alive somehow with all the other scores. And then today on Monday, I said, okay, for real, now it's real playoffs. There's no more weird ways of getting in. I said, this is it. So at the end of the day, it just comes down to execution, play by play. Who can stack up more positive plays for their team is going to win. And that's exactly what happened last week in the U of S. They had two more positive plays than we did, and I assume it's going to be very similar this week. It's just who can be more consistent, who can execute, and the better team will win tonight.
So when you go and attack this week, do you see it? Do you walk into the room as a head coach and try to read the room? And if so, what did you read from your group getting ready for this week?
Yeah, they were ready. Actually, it started up at U of S last week. So we lost by 2. We're loading the bus up, ready to come home. And everyone's feeling pretty down. We just lost to the provincial rival, and everyone's kind of down. All of a sudden, we're getting updates from the score in Alberta with Manitoba, and Manitoba made a massive comeback, and that kind of just set us up for, okay, we just got to win. Like, if Alberta won, we'd have to win by 25 points or some weird tiebreaker, but they kind of, Manitoba helped us out, and the mood instantly changed. The guys were, okay, we're good. All we got to do is win, and we can do that. We know we can win. We can beat anyone. Beating a team by 25 in Canada West is hard to do. We know that, but we just got to beat them by one. And the mood changed right away, like within 30 minutes after the game. And then I actually went on each bus and was like, hey, this is it. So it actually came out pretty quick. We flipped over from U of S to U of A right away. And it's been a good week of prep. And, yeah, just excited to see our guys go play.
As you get ready for this, any big plans? Do you have the speech ready to go? You know, any given Sunday-esque or what?
Yeah, exactly. A little Al Pacino. Yeah, no, the speech is ready. It's been ready since Monday. And, I won't tell you about any of our trick plays. I'll keep that in the bag here. we're ready. We're ready. OD, special teams. At the end of the day, we just got to go execute. Pretty simple, and it's just football.
Well, when you look at what's coming your way from the University of Alberta, how dangerous is the running back Peterson out of the U of A to try to bring down?
Yeah, he's one of the top backs in U Sports. There's a reason he got drafted to the Hamilton Tiger Cats last year. He's one of the best ones in all of Canada, and we're gonna have a handful with him. But I know our defensive coordinator Sheldon Gray and our players are gonna do a great job containing him. And you can't stop him, but you just got to contain him. And if we can do that, we're going to give ourselves a chance to come out on top tonight.
What have you seen from Alberta overall since the last time you played them a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, no, they're a well-coached football team. They've got injuries. We've got injuries. They're a good team. And, it's going to be a physical game tonight, kind of grinder game on the ground. And we're just excited to see how we match up against those guys. They're big, they're physical, but I think we are too. So it's going to be a going to be a bloodbath out there. We're excited.
Well, it's at Libel Field tonight. And, Mark, I just want to shout out because, of course, Regina is hosting the Vanier Cup next year. Braden sent along the info, flash sale. We want to pass this along. Flash sale starting today and then through the weekend, reginarams.com/Vanier. You want to get your hand on some Vanier Cup prices. This is next year, the 2025 Vanier Cup being hosted by Regina. Adult prices, $10 to go see the national championship next week. The Vanier Cup's going to be at the game tonight. It's going to be at Party of the Park tomorrow outside the Rider game. So exciting stuff as well, Mark, as a lot of concentration on this year. You're fully focused on tonight, but I know as the Rams organization, excited about hosting that Vanier next year.
Yeah, we're super excited as a program. Today it's all about Alberta and getting in the playoffs, I'll be honest.
Well, Mark, best of luck tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
That is Mark McConkie, the head coach of the University of Regina Rams against the University of Alberta Golden Bears tonight. Libel Field in Regina, win they're in. Of course, the Huskies have already clinched their playoff spot from the University of Saskatchewan. But I want to repeat what I just said about the Vanier Cup tickets. This is a flash sale that just went on today, just opened up today, tomorrow, Sunday. So through the weekend, reginarams.com/Vanier. $10 for adult tickets, $5 seniors, kids, for the Vanier Cup at Mosaic Stadium in 2025. The U Sports National Championship football game in Saskatchewan next year. So, or you can buy those tickets at the game tonight. If you're going to Libel for the Rams and the University of Alberta Golden Bears, you can get them at that game this evening as well. And as I mentioned, the Vanier Cup's in town for tonight's game and will be at Party in the Park tomorrow ahead of the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. A lot of football to get to. Let's break down some of the high school storylines getting into the fall, and a shout-out to our high school football players wrapping up their seasons with some quarterfinal action this weekend. We'll break it down for you next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I was a robber, first time that he saw me. Stealing hearts and running off and never saying sorry. But if I'm a thief, then he can join the heist and we'll move to an island. Well, it's a big weekend of football in the province of Saskatchewan. How about a shout out to all the high school sports going on when it comes to football playoffs? Last night in Saskatoon, we had the Saskatoon 6A, a semifinals. A Holy Cross beat Centennial 45-14. St. Joe's beat Walter Murray 44-6. So next week, November the 1st, on that Friday, Holy Cross will take on St. Joe's for the 6A final in Saskatoon. When it comes to Regina, tonight, Mosaic Stadium, actually 5:15, it'll be Miller against Leboldus in the semifinal. And in the other semifinal, it'll be Campbell against Riffle in the other 6A semifinal. That's tonight at Mosaic Stadium. We also have other provincial playoffs getting started tomorrow around the province of Saskatchewan. You have games in Hafford, St. Brew, Hanley, and Lemberg in the 6A with Carrot River, Plenty, Corrobert, and Big River on the road trying to win those championships, of course, and in the quarterfinals there. In 6A, in the 2A division, Watrous is in Southie, Unity in Waukaw, Wynyard in Clavett, and Creighton will visit Rosetown. That is in the 2A. A 6A side. A nine-man football in the 4A location. Lumsden will be hosting Humboldt tomorrow. Fort Capel will be in Melfort. Shaunavon will be in Delisle. Tisdale will be in Melville. And when it comes to 5A 12-man football, Regina's Johnson beat Tom Collegiate 44-3 last night at Mosaic Stadium to win the 5A. Bishop Mahoney against Aiden Bowman. That game goes tonight at Saskatoon Minor Football. So a shout out to those teams in the 5A. And then in the other 5A games on Saturday, that'll be PA Carleton against Martinsville. And then in Regina at Libel Field, Balgoni will take on Moose Jaw Central. So there is a look at all the high school playoff football going on around the province. Best of luck to everybody with the quarterfinals and then semifinals, and the finals will be in 2 weeks around Saskatchewan. Best of luck to you. And of course, you have the Regina Thunder on Sunday at Libel Field. Tonight, the University of Regina Rams, the Huskies, closing out their U Sports Canada West regular season on Saturday. Oh, yeah, and the Riders play tomorrow, 5 o'clock at Mosaic. What do you think, Saskatchewan? Do you think Cody Fajardo and Jason Moss can do you a solid and beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers? I'm picking the Bombers. I am. I'm picking the Bombers. I just don't see how Montreal can match the intensity of a team that has a game to play for. I don't see it, especially the way the Alouettes have played very inconsistently. Just feels like they've let the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. But I know Britton Gray is an eternal optimist. Britton Gray, who's coming up later on, he is saying, he is believing. You can check it out on the Blitz podcast. We recorded it last night. You can find it on our YouTube page. Yeah, subscribe to us on YouTube. Videos there from the Green Zone, at Green Zone SK on YouTube. And Britton Gray made the prediction on the Blitz podcast that the Rough Riders are going to finish first in the West Division. He thinks the Montreal Alouettes are going to win tomorrow, and the Riders will beat up on the Calgary Stampeders as well. Oh, what a weekend it would be if the Riders got first place and host the West Final, and then they're just one home win away from their first Grey Cup appearance since 2013.